Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, reading verse 11 through 28. It's a bit more than I usually read, but I believe the Lord has something for us today. And I apologize if my voice sounds a little rough. I'm a bit congested today as I try to preach. But Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Heavenly Father, first, thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus took the time to teach us about the end times. I hope that you'll open our understanding today. Lord, feed us out of your word. Lord, help us today, and I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. The picture that Christ gives us is that we need to be prepared for the end of the world. Some of what Christ said has been fulfilled, and some of what he said is yet to come to pass, but I believe shortly will come to pass. But again, Christ's message is that we need to be ready. We need to be ready for destruction. We need to be ready for calamity. We need to be ready for our world as we know it to end. You've heard me preach many times that the second coming of Christ is near. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I cannot tell you. But I do know that Christ is coming. And I believe that we can see some of the signs of the times. I've mentioned this before. The nation of Israel didn't exist for about 1900 years. Actually, its initial demise, Jesus talks about in this passage. In other passages, it talks about looking for a time when Jerusalem is compassed about with armies. Then the Jews are told to flee at that time. And as he says here, if you're on the housetop, don't go into the house to get your stuff. Just flee. If you're in the field, head for the hills. Don't worry about going back to get an extra set of clothes. Right off the top of my head, I don't know the exact year that Christ spoke these things. AD 30, 33, I don't remember. But he said that Jerusalem would be surrounded by armies. And that the Jews, when they saw this, they needed to flee. In AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus, sent by Rome. Remember that Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. He was innocent. Every Jew knew that. But the religious leaders of that day demanded that he be crucified. But in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed, and 1.1 million Jews were nailed to crosses by the Roman army. So many Jews were crucified that there was not another place to put another cross. It was just too crowded. But the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they knew his word. They knew his prophecy. They heeded his warning. And all the Christians, when they saw the approaching armies, fled. It is said that no Christian suffered in AD 70. No Christian was crucified. Obviously, many or most of the Christians in Jerusalem were Jews, but they all escaped because they believed the warning that Christ gave. But the temple of God, the one that Herod built, was torn down stone by stone. The entire city was destroyed, most of the wall destroyed, the wall that circles the city. The only thing that's left from that year of destruction is now known as the Wailing Wall, where the Jews pray. But again, Christ's message is one of warning. He said in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The gospel message obviously started in Israel, in Judea, perhaps a little bit in Samaria, the woman at the well, and what have you. But it began in Israel, and basically around Judah. No one at that time, 2,000 years ago, had any idea that there were American Indians. No one knew about the Aborigines in Australia. Those parts of the world were unknown. But Christ prophesied that the gospel would be preached in all the world, and then the end would come. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking again. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, where this whole thing started, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Today, we send out missionaries. You know that I have traveled to Haiti 5 times, once to Mexico, and once to the Bahamas, to preach the gospel. And I'm happy to say that I've done missionary work. Many of you have prayed for missionaries. Perhaps you've given a little bit in the offering to support missionary work. And the church began its missionary activity in the book of Acts. And actually it progressed in exactly the fashion that Jesus said. First in Jerusalem, then all Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Again, one more sign that the coming of the Lord is near. Again, I don't know the day or the hour, but we are told to look at the signs of the times. Another sign of the times is the rampant apostasy that is sweeping most of the church. I don't want to spend too much time on that today, but this practically worldwide apostasy is one more sign, one more testimony that the coming of the Lord is near. That's verse 14, but let's look at verse 15 again. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Then he says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now this phrase, abomination of desolation, is mentioned a few times in the book of Daniel. And in the chapters we've studied so far, it's mentioned in chapter 8 of Daniel and in chapter 9. But if you would, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 8. And we've studied this before. In verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which we identified as the Antichrist, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. And in verse 11, again, speaking of the Antichrist, it says, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, which we know that's the prince of peace, Jesus Christ. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now this is an important point. I want you to pay attention to this. It mentions the daily sacrifice. We know that that was at 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the temple of God. When Daniel wrote this prophecy down, the temple of God was no more. And we know that Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem and built the temple again. During the time of Christ, Jesus spent time in the temple, and that temple was built by Herod. But in AD 70, as we said a bit ago, the temple was destroyed, along with the city of Jerusalem. But Daniel is speaking of future events, events that will happen perhaps in our lifetime. But the temple was destroyed in AD 70. It's going to be built again, and the sacrifices will resume in Israel in the temple of God. That's something to consider as we look on television or read in the newspaper about the peace process between Islam and Israel. The temple of God will be rebuilt. But getting back to the text, let me read that verse 11 again. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host or an army was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I believe that phrase, casting down the truth to the ground, talks about the brazen altar that's thrown down and replaced by some sort of idol. And this little horn, the Antichrist, is the one that's going to do it. He's going to defile the temple of God that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And that's a future event. Turn with me quickly to chapter 9. There's a prophecy given, starting in verse 24 to the end of the chapter, called Daniel's 70 weeks. And it says that 70 weeks, or 490 years, are determined upon the people of God. And we said last time, 70 weeks, or 70 blocks of 7 years, 490 years, 69 of those weeks, and we counted them up, have been fulfilled when Christ rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Those first 69 weeks were fulfilled to the day. In verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Christ the Messiah died for us. He was cut off from the land of the living. He died, but not for himself. He died for us. And I'm so glad he did. And this is what Jesus was talking about in chapter 24 of Matthew. And the rest of this verse, verse 26, foretells what Jesus was warning about, that the Jews should flee Jerusalem before the Romans destroyed it. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come, in other words, the people of the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, which again happened in AD 70. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now remember we said that we counted up 69 weeks, or 483 years. But that leaves 1 week of the 70, another 7-year period. And in verse 27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now let me say that again. The Antichrist will confirm a covenant for 7 years. Now I know what I'm going to say is a bit controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's this ongoing, never-ending, never-finished peace process between the Jews and Islam. And some time ago I've warned that it's possible to read in too much into prophecy. Perhaps we think we understand world events or politics, and then we look at the Bible and we read in too much by mistake. So what I'm going to say may not be correct. And again, it's certainly controversial. But it plainly says that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Again, I may be wrong, but I believe it's possible that this covenant that's confirmed with many for 1 week is a Middle East treaty, a ceasefire, or some sort of covenant or agreement. Remember, the Antichrist first appears to be a man of peace, and I believe that's borne out by Scripture. But look at the rest of the verse. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, we said a bit ago that the temple in Jerusalem must be rebuilt. It must be rebuilt. A great man of peace might appear on the world's stage and finally bring peace to the Middle East. Finally, there's a peace treaty between Israel and all the Muslim nations, a 7-year peace treaty. But it says, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, just as we saw in Daniel chapter 8. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And you say, what are you saying, Brother Kelly? I'm saying this, first off, that I may be wrong, but it's commonly taught in many circles that the Antichrist would do exactly that, make peace with Israel, make some sort of treaty with Israel, and then in the middle of it, break it. Make a peace treaty, and then break that treaty. In other words, he'll make an agreement with Israel, and then he'll break it. He'll double-cross Israel. And I know that's a very controversial statement.
Trust him to do what he says, for he knows you by heart.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.